Joshua chapter 3, be preaching out of there tonight. I'm still going to be loud. I'm still too loud. We got a little electric. Another thing, I got Daryl's going to be getting on this one. If you notice, the porch light's been on, daylight or not. They're supposed to be working on a photocell eye, and they stayed on. They were staying on. So me and Daryl went out there and looked at them the other day. Of course, I got about electrocuted, but found there's something wrong. It shorted out on the photocell, so I bought another one. This church has the photocell back here, so that when the sun gets set, then they'll come on, the lights will. We got to put another photocell. So if you notice, they've been burning all the time. We'll be getting it taken care of eventually. Get my man Daryl. I told Daryl, I said, man alive, we could be full-time maintenance men around here. There's always something to do. All right, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray that it'll encourage us, and Lord, help us as we walk each day here on this earth, and we can be excited about what you're doing for us, what you're going to do for us. Lord, help us to stay enthusiastic about that, and we just trust you for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I like this text here. I've used it before. I like to use it. This is a good revival text. Any message I use this for, I put down on my notes, revival, in case would get called to do something like that. By now, of course, Moses has died, Joshua's taken over, they had already been up to the Jordan River years before. And, of course, you know what happened there. The spies went in, and they came back and said, yeah, it looks great, but there's giants over there. And, of course, then the Israelites ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years before they came back. All that generation died except for Caleb and Joshua. And now Joshua's leading the people, and they're getting ready to go in. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And their inheritance, the inheritance that God has for them, is on that side of the river. I like to look at it like this. It's a place of decision. They've come up to there, and they, you know, when you think about it, when you're getting ready to go over into the land, that land of promise, and I brought this out before, it didn't mean there wasn't any battles over there to fight, because there was. Those same old giants that they saw 40 years before, they still lived over there. There was fortified cities over there. It was still a place that there was going to have to be occupied. But God said, look, this is the land for you. I'm going to fight the battles for you. Listen, man, it's yours. You can have the victory. You can take it. And all that pictures our life here on earth that God has for us as Christians. We've got an inheritance right now. We've got one in heaven, sure, but there's things, and we have promises on earth right here too. And I think this is just a good chapter. It's a good area right there, like, to think about the revival mood. You know, back in March, we had a revival, and we got a little fired up, and people are getting saved left and right, and that's great and all that. But, you know, human beings, time wears on. You know, we're kind of fizzling. Sometimes we got to just fan up the flames of that stuff amongst ourselves. You know, we got to be excited, or we're not going to get anybody else excited. We've got to be excited. And so we see here, it's a place of decision. You know, it's a place where you either break down or you break through. And there's a lot of Christians that are at that place in their life right now. They're at a place, they've gotten, whatever place you're at that place, if that makes sense to you. I mean, God has gotten you this far. Wherever you are at in your Christian walk, you are at that place, right? You're there. Now, you know, does it stop? You know, no, it doesn't. But a lot of people are at a place right there. They've got to make a decision whether they're going to go forward in their Christian walk or not. And there's too many of Christian folks that are like the Israelites. They got right up to the edge of the river there, but they won't go any farther for one reason or another. Comfort, the effort that it's going to take, the battle that they might have to fight. And so you're either going to have to break down there or break through. They had a dream about going over on the other side. They liked what they saw 40 years before. They liked what they heard about it. But back then, 40 years before, they decided that the dream that they had wasn't worth the effort that it was going to take to get it. Listen, folks, effort. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, effort. We just sometimes you got to put an effort out. God's with us, sure he is, but you still got the battle you got to fight. And what it is, we living in such a lazy society. Anything that takes work, well, I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it, you know, to put the work in to get it done. And they didn't. And what happened was they died really not physically there, but they died spiritually right there. And they gave up what was rightly theirs. I believe there's Christian folks right now. They're saved, sure enough. But spiritually, they just on life support. I mean, there's no victory in their life. There's no power in their life. There's no excitement in their life. They're complacent. And I know some of you thinking, oh, that's me right there. He must be thinking what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. That's me. You know, I've gotten to a place in my life and I'm in that old rut. We get in a rut in a hurry. We're already in a rut from March. We're already in a rut. We get in a rut in a hurry and we can't get going. Spiritually kind of died off just a little bit. But, you know, here they had a dream, but back then they didn't take possession of the land. Now, we know that Jordan is a place that God has ordained, and I try to get this point across. God has a place for you. God has something for you, something. And I'm tell you what it is. Nobody's arrived at the place yet. Huh? You haven't arrived? No, listen. Well, I'm doing something for God, all right, but we're not all, most of the time, we're not doing everything we could do. God could have a lot more for us than what we have right now. God could be doing a lot more. And so I don't believe any of us have really gotten to the total place that God has for us. God can do more. It just has to do with us allowing God to have our life, all of our life, not being fearful, not getting to a place and stopping. And a lot of people do that. And it looks like when you think about Jordan, as far as the people that were on the other side, fortified cities, some of them were nations. They were places of war. People had been in war, a warlike nation. Israel was not a warring people. I mean, they had been slaves. They were farmers. They were shepherds. You know, those kind of things. They weren't a warring people. So to them, it was an impossibility. Taking the land of Canaan, crossing Jordan, taking the land of Canaan was an impossible situation. So it's a place of impossibility. Then also, as far as humans are concerned, it's also a place of weakness. There were giants over there on the other side. It's also a place of helplessness. Go back to the giants once again. But it's the place that God ordained it. Isn't that amazing that God ordains a place for us that looks impossible? Huh? That causes us to feel helpless. That exposes, if anything, it exposes our weakness. That's the place God has it. Why does God do that? Because we can't see God without it. See, if we can do it in our own strength, what do you need God for? If you do it in your own strength, God won't get the glory. He won't even get it from us. You know, so it's got to be a place of impossibility, a place of weakness, and a place of helplessness so that God will get the glory in that. That's the place that God's going to take you to. But isn't that scary? That's our problem. See, we don't like nothing that's unfamiliar. We don't like nothing that's unfamiliar. Shelby was talking, I'm going to use you for an illustration. Shelby said, I don't know, how do you do all this plumbing? And I said, you know what, listen, I didn't go to school for it. I just, you know, I read. I did these rocks right here. You know how many times I've done them rocks right there before I did these rocks right here? A good one time. Huh? Well, how'd you know how to do it? Oh, I just read the instructions. The instructions said, well, for here, it says, well, you can't put them on a plaster wall. Okay, you got that right. It says you got to put that metal lathe that you buy down there. It's this little expanded metal. You got to nail it on there. Everybody know how to do that, right? You know how to nail a nail, right? So I said, okay, well, how wide do you want it? I read my tape measure. And I put that's what the instructions said. Put it on there. I've done it one time. And then I said, okay, and then it says you put the scratch coat on there, and then you make up your motor just right. Now, there was some tinkering. I had to learn how, you know, was I kind of worried that I was going to mess it up? Yeah, I was a little bit worried, but I didn't let the fear of that stop me because I figured, you know what, if I mess it up, I'll tear it down and do it again. Hey, church, by the way, you got to buy some more rocks because it done messed all these up. Huh? So what, you know, plumbing, carpenter, I'm not a carpenter. I'm going to tell you that. I cut the hole in the wall and I got to frame it all out. Do I know what I'm doing? No, I just stood there and looked at it, scratched my head and thought, well, if I do that, that won't look good. But if I do this, that'll look better. And I'm going to do it. If it don't look right, I'll tear it all down and do it again. I'm not going to let fear keep me from moving ahead. And that's how I learned how to do all that stuff. That I just learned to do it. I did it by doing it. There's got to be a point where you got to quit reading the instructions. You got to quit sitting around talking about it. And you got to go ahead and do it. Got to mix. Got to stick that first rock. Stick that first rock. Up there at the top. See how nice and neat that fits? Now, I had never done that before. Well, how'd you figure out how to do it? I just thought about it. Just thought, what would I do? And so I put one of the rocks up there, that one on the end. I put it up there straight. So the square part went out. I had to hold it down lower. And then I held my level. I pushed it up there to give me a straight edge on the ceiling. And I drew a pencil line on that same angle. And I took the thing and cut it and stuck it up there. And lo and behold, it fit. Huh? Then I just thought about it. Took a step. See, that's how you do it. It's with anything in life. You gotta go ahead. Don't let fear stop you. And what happened was fear had stopped them from going over when God, and I didn't have a promise from God that I would be able to get to Rock Walnut. He didn't say, you'll get it done. He told them, I'm going to give you the land. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. They had a promise from God, and they still let fear stop them. So look, everybody there had two choices. They could cross over to Jordan, go to the land of inheritance, or settle down and give up their dream and never realize their full potential. See, you got your same choice. Say, everybody in here, say. Say you say. Okay. You can settle right down where you are right now. That's it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's it. Guarantee you that God might have a better life for you, more life for you than what you think. He has, well, let me word it this way. He may have bigger plans for you than you. See, we aim low a lot of times, and we hit it every time. We aim too low. God may have a better plan for you than what you have for you. But the problem is you're going to settle right here because you're comfortable. There's no risk involved. There's no possibility of some kind of failure. There's no, it's a safe route. You're living. The Israelites got to the Jordan. They were living. They were breathing. It was safe. They go over on the other side, they got to fight the big giants. They got to fight the enemy. They already had a promise they would win, so it's a faith issue. Believe in God, right? Believe in God. But it was the safe route. See, right here, you're all here. You don't have to, if I don't expand my horizon one bit, it's safe. Preacher, I couldn't teach a Sunday school class. I just couldn't do it because I just can't do it. Because it's fear. Now, there's some of you that probably can't teach a Sunday school class. And I don't mean that funny. I mean it this way, that maybe God didn't give you that talent. Okay. But if God did, if God called you to do it, you can do it. Maybe God called, if God didn't give you that gift, you can do something else. Don't be afraid. Go farther than, don't settle. See, this is what we have. We have settled. We settled. You know, everything's settled. And that's what happened to them. And so we've got some potential. It's a place of division. It's a dividing line. It's a place of division. It's a place of decision. Are we going to trust God or are we going to trust ourselves? Those are the two things. Are we going to trust God or are we going to trust ourselves? Trust in the flesh. And so, like I say, too many Christians flop down on the wrong side of the Jordan River. And they're afraid to go over, afraid of the energy, afraid of the enemy, afraid of the effort. That's how that gets a little alliterated outline, right? Energy, enemy, effort. It all starts with an E. That's good, right? The hymn writer got it right when he said, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Well, what are you casting a wistful eye over onto the happy land where your possessions lie, if that's your possessions, why don't you get over and get them? Then what are you doing stopping on the stormy banks? Huh? The stormy banks. Go get them. Faith and fear. Faith is an action word, and that's the only thing that'll cause us, you know, we have to move forward. Fear is like an inaction, you know, it's an inaction word, inactive word. It causes us, we stop. It stops us a lot of times. Afraid that God can, afraid the enemy can, afraid that we'll lose something, afraid it might be joy, pleasure, whatever it is. Afraid their personal agenda will be rearranged. A lot of fears that cause people to stop. And then listen, even the people that cross over still have the same kind of areas. After they crossed over, actually, when you study that a little bit farther, you'll find out there was seven tribes that was supposed to, they were supposed to go farther than they went. They got over the Jordan, but they didn't go out there into all the land and possess it no more. Why? Because it's safe. You already got this victory. What happens is we get one victory, we want to stop. And there was other victories to get. There was other cities to conquer, but they didn't do it. It took a long time. Finally, later on, Joshua finally said, hey, what's wrong with you? Get up, get going, go possess the rest of the land. You know, see what's out there. Go get it for you. And so sometimes we still have to, you know, get a little boot right there. You know, he had to preach a message like this to get them going probably in chapter 18 is when he told it. And he said, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? How long? Go get it. Go get it. 2.5 tribes went over. Listen there. They went over and said, we'll help you fight the battles. They did. And then they went back across the Jordan and lived on the other side. Why would you live? Why would you put your faith in God to leave Egypt, travel through the wilderness, then travel through the wilderness 40 years, trust God to get you over on the other side of the Jordan, give you victory at Jericho, and that was the first place, and then go live back on the other side? Because they said, well, the grass looked good for cattle over there on that side. I guarantee you over there somewhere in that promised land, there was some real good-looking grass. I find it hard to believe. The Jordan River, if you ever been to Jordan River, where they go is about from here to Mike back there, about wide. That's about all it is. And you tell me the grass is growing real good over here, but it's not growing that good just on that side of the river? Huh? You telling me it's not growing too hot on that side? Got to be some other places back in there where it grow. But they went back and they lived on the wrong side because it looked good to them instead of going where God wanted them to go. Well, think about that. At the bottom of that, isn't that really at the bottom of all disobedience as far as how God leads us? They said, this looks better, God, than what we think you have for us. So every time we're disobedient to the leading of God, that's what we're saying. We're saying, we think we know what's best. This will be better for me than what God, what you're leading me to. That's really what you're saying, the same thing. Yeah, we're just as guilty as they are. Just as guilty as they are. So it's the exact same thing. And this, like I said, a lot of people don't go farther than just their salvation. They get satisfied there. Or how many people get saved and then backslide, cross back over on the other side of the river, and live over there like they did? They lived as close to the world as they could live and still be called Israelites. How many Christians get saved, live as close to the world as they can, but still be called Christians? Instead of going on into the... I preached the whole message on Samson one time. Samson's big problem was that he lived right as close. He lived right on the border. And he got all tangled up with the Philistines because he lived on the border of Philistia, however you say. He lived right on the border there. And he got messed around with Delilah and all that because he wouldn't go on and live over in the middle of where he was supposed to live. He lived on the edge of it. And then on the fringe, you got a lot of temptations out there. So, you know, how do we cross over and go on with God? Well, he told him in verse 5, he said, look, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. All right, that means get rid of anything in our lives that offends God. Anything in your life, anything that grieves the Spirit of God, anything that quenches the Spirit of God, could be vices, could be attitudes, all the sins of the Spirit type things, unforgiveness, hate, grudges, pride, selfishness, self-love, idols of the heart, those type things. And a lot of people won't do it. A lot of people won't give anything up because they think they're going to lose something instead of gain. They might lose pleasure, might lose, you know, fun, whatever it is. And then also, sanctify yourself requires humility. There's got to be pride involved. Like I said this morning, a lot of people have deceived themselves and think there's nothing that in their life that they've got to get rid of. They just deceived themselves and think everything's okay. And so that's pride working there. And so, afraid somehow you'll come out on the short end of the stick. And that's not a possibility. The 2.5 tribes, we spoke about that. They just thought, man, it looks good. It doesn't, that it looks good to raise cattle. There's not any place probably better to raise cattle over there, which they were wrong about that. They picked their own inheritance instead of going to the inheritance that God picked. I believe God can pick a better inheritance than we can pick. God can see farther than we can see. God's got more insight into this. God said, just think about it. These are God's people, right? He's trying to show them that he loves them. Now, he showed us that he loves us, right? We're, cross, Jesus. We're his children. Why would he give us something inferior? Why would he say, look, man, I'm going to find the sorriest piece of ground on the face of the planet, and that's where I'm going to make my people that I love, I'm going to make them go live there. Does that make sense? That's what they're thinking, right? Over there, beyond what you can actually see, there's got to be something. Explorers, go back in there and find out what it is. There's something back here. Why would God give us a sorry piece of ground? Why wouldn't, if this was the best piece of ground, don't we think that God would give us this? Okay, so same with us, see, spiritually, why would God lead us to something that's less than what we have already? No, he's going to lead us to more. It may be in the spiritual sense, but it's going to be better all the way around. What do we all want? What do we want out of life? We want to be happy, right? Well, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be happy, but he'll understand happiness better than you. And so he'll lead us to that place. Okay, so, like I said, they wanted to live. Some of them wanted to live close, but didn't want to go all the way in. And that's really where most people are. All of us, most of us would be living on the other side, on the wrong side of Jordan. We want to be close, but we don't want to let go all the way in. Don't want to trust God totally for everything. Because, man, you had to trust God for a lot more going over. Because now you had to fight those battles. There was more battles in Jericho. That was just a startup. You had to go fight those battles. Well, you already got that battle won. You can live right there around Jericho. Back on the other side of the river is okay, because you're not going to get any hassles from Jericho. It's safe, No more battles to fight. That's a lot of times we don't want to do that. We fought one or two, but we don't want to fight anymore, and we don't go any farther with God. Somebody put it this way. Some people want to live close to the altar of God, but not place themselves on it. Now, they don't want to make the sacrifice. The Bible says to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Live near it, but not on it. Another thing we need to do to go on with God is we got to have a vision, a greater vision. So everybody's got a vision of some sort, but I have to have a greater vision. As I said before, ask yourself the question, do you ever wonder if there's more to my Christian life or to Christianity than what I'm living right now? Is there a little bit more? Probably a lot more. There's probably a lot more than what we're living right now, what we could be. And sometimes you even experience a little bit of that. As I said, 7 tribes went over. They drugged their feet about claiming their inheritance in the land. And they were brave and faithful enough to cross over, but fear didn't stop them there. But then there's the other problem that we battle with, complacency and indifference and unwillingness. Sometimes I see stuff, like I said before, you see stuff in life with people that, why don't they go get certain things fixed? Why don't they take care of that? You see it, why don't they fix that? They just get used to it. Like I said, my old house was school bus yellow with red wood trim. The first house I bought, we got to paint that thing right away. But I drug my feet. I didn't do it right away. Year went by, another year went by. After a while, I kind of got used to looking at school bus yellow and redwood trim. I knew it looked bad, but I just didn't, Finally, I broke down and painted the thing, took care of it. Finally, we put siding on top of that. But you just get used to it. And that's what happens there. Don't want to go any. You get cold and indifferent. See, when you're fired up about it, man, let's go. You go in and laziness sets in. And like I said, they would have had things they would have had to do, build cities, drive out the enemies, plant crops, time, energy. But he said, sanctify yourself. That sanctifying yourself takes work, really, it does. There's things that you might have to quit doing. There's things that you might have to start doing. Something, in other words, has got to change. and we just don't like change. We just don't. I mean, it's the truth in a way. We don't like change. We almost have to force ourselves to change even for the better. Go the same way. I used to, when I mowed the grass, the other day, we're kind of getting back on the schedule with the grass mowing, by the way, since right now Brian was doing it while he wasn't working, but now he is working. So we need to get our schedule back together. And I got up here and did some of it, and Brian came, finished it off and all that. But I mowed this place for 15, 16 years, I mowed it. And, you know, same way, went the same route, mowed the same section. Finally, I got bored with it. I said, you know what, I'm going to change. So my signature move now, if you see the grass mowed this way, I did it. Out front is I cut diagonal this way. I get out there, I go a couple laps around, and then I get over in the far corner up there by the road, and I aim at this Christmas tree down here, and I make me a cut down the middle, and then I go back and forth out to the road, and then I come down and I go back and forth down here, so I got a diagonal cut. How come? I'm just tired of doing it the other way. I got changed, man. I got bored riding around the same way. I said, I'm going to do something different. I was trying to think the other day if I could do it in a Z, if I could get a Z going in there in the grass and do it like that, maybe do something different. Sometimes, though, we won't. We won't change anything. We got the routines in that. And we have to, like I say, something's got to change. You can't do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. And so if you're not drawing any closer to God or you're not following where God's leading, you got to do something different. You just got to start doing it. Don't let fear stop you in that area right there. And then the third thing is see God do wonders in verse 5. See God do wonders. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many of us really like to see God do some wonders among us, right? Huh? Don't you get tired of the same old routine, nothing happening, nobody getting saved, nobody excited? Oh, praise God. Huh? I mean, just same old, you know. Doesn't that get old every while? Don't you want to see God do some wonders? Well, if we're doing all the same things and everything's routine and God's not doing wonders, we're not seeing God do wonders, we're going to have to sanctify ourselves. That's what he said. He didn't say, don't sanctify yourself and see God do wonders. He said, sanctify yourself and see God do something. God was going to tell, you know what was going to happen in their case? They was going to have to step out on flood stage Jordan River there, step a foot. The priests were going to go first, lucky them. They were going to go first with the ark out there, and the people had to stay back. And God was going to stack it water up on both sides. Huh? And then they were going to go over on dry ground. That would be pretty exciting right there. Cleared the way. Cleared the way. See God do something. It's great when you see a victorious event in our life. And listen. Until we sanctify ourselves and then get a vision beyond the end of our nose, we won't see God do wonders. Aim big. Like I said, this was the land of impossibility. Giants, fortified cities, outnumbered. Everything about it said they wasn't going to get it done. See God do. I mean, we're always shooting for possibilities because we're chickens. We're shooting for possibilities, and then we're worrying about that half the time. Just shoot for impossibilities. See God do wonders. Remember Elijah when he went up there and he went up against the prophets of Baal and he built an altar and he put the wood. He took barrels of water and poured on all the wood and he dug a trench around the thing and poured. You know how much effort that took to kill a bull? It was a one man show, buddy. I guarantee you, them other prophets didn't help him. He was out there by himself. There'd been drought. I think it'd been drought for about that was a pretty long time. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. I don't remember if I wrote it down. If it was 3 years drought, at least 3 years. The ground was hard. A drought. You know how it gets when it was hard ground. And guess what? 12 barrels of water he poured on the altar. 12 barrels of water during a drought. That land, when it's not a drought, is like a drought around here. Water's scarce. 12 barrels of water was a sacrifice. But God showed up. Fire come down, burned up the altar, burned up the rocks, licked up the dust, burned up all the water, man. God came down. Wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to go out there and dig a trench around the thing and get a bunch of barrels of water? And, man, I mean, you had to hand load them barrels. Now, you didn't turn a spigot on. I mean, you had to pull them things up out of the ground and fill up 12 barrels and then go over there and pour it around there during a drought, which was an expensive thing. But wouldn't it be worth it to see God send some fire down out of there Oh, man, that was worth it right there, the effort that took place. Well, God could have dug that trench around, I know, but he didn't. God could have just rained a bunch of water right on top of that thing right before he was going to light them, but he didn't. Elijah had to do it. He had to go over there and do that. And then God did something. Fire came down. God doesn't do anything till we sanctify ourselves. Think about that. And he doesn't do anything until we exercise faith. Stepping into that water. That river didn't dry up till they stepped in. That fire didn't come down until he poured all the water on it and dug the trench around there. They had to step into the water. Then God did something. See, we're always waiting for God to do something so then we can do something. Sometimes God's waiting on us to do something so he can do something. That's the way it is, right? You know, you see it a lot in the Bible. Somebody said this, our problem is we want to see the victory before we ever get into the fight. We want to see the end before we start. I mean, that's the truth, you know. And so, if we're going to see the victory, man, we got to get in the fight. And then we'll see, hey, you know, you can get it done, right? Why won't you go farther with God? And God's got more for us. I remember my pastor used to say, he said, man, I don't know what all God's got for me, but whatever it is, I want it all. He said, I want everything I got that God wants me to have. He said, I want that, whatever it's going to be. And there's, even in this life, there's stuff. It's not all just pie in the sky. There's some pie down here too. There's some pie down here too God's got for me. Salvation's not the end. It's only the beginning of things. Sanctify yourself. See the Lord do wonders among us. How about that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And help us to be encouraged. Lord, help us not to let fear immobilize us. Help us not to let